Enago Academy welcomes you to our podcast, where you will hear engaging discussions about accelerating your publication journey and becoming a successful researcher who impacts the global research community.
Welcome to the first episode of Enago Academy's podcast. As part of today's podcast, we will discuss how you can improve the visibility of your research as well as increase the chances of being cited. Okay, so why is it important to promote your research and how does improved visibility help a researcher? Okay, so firstly, as we are going to talk about increasing the chances of citations, of course, that's the first reason. Building collaborations, if your research is known to people worldwide, of course, it'll increase the chances of you being cited because people will want to come work with you. It increases the chances of being recognized as a good as well as a credible researcher. And of course, because of, increased visibility and because more people can see what you're doing, it also leads to enhanced scientific advancement. Okay, because we are going to discuss, why it is important to be, cited as part of this episode, let us just briefly talk about what citation metrics are or bibliometrics are. So citation metrics are a quantitative method of measuring the impact of research or research communications. Now, these citation metrics can either be journal specific or author specific. Okay, now who uses them? They're used widely by all members of the research community, whether they are scientists or they are funders or they are universities or they are research institutions. As far as authors are concerned, they are important because they increase the chances. Of course, if you are a highly cited author or highly cited researcher, it improves the chances of course building collaborations, getting a new job, acquiring tenure, as well as getting funding for your research as well. All right then. As part of today's episode, we will discuss both pre-publication as well as post-publication methods of promoting your research and finally boosting your citations. And these methods will include both traditional methods, such as presenting at conferences, writing a review article, or citing your own research, as well as novel methods of research promotion, which involve using social media networks effectively, publishing in open access journals, or even getting an ORC ID. So we will first begin with the traditional methods, and the first one being presenting at conferences in order to improve the visibility of your research and to promote it effectively. So conferences, as we all know, are an excellent way of exhibiting your work and an excellent opportunity rather to exhibit your work as well as to create interest regarding your work. When you go to a conference, you meet several people, you meet several international researchers, and of course, publishing collaboratively with several international researchers has been shown to improve the readership of papers and therefore also increasing the chances of being cited. Okay, then the second method is again another traditional method, and it basically involves citing your own previous research, although not excessively. Okay, so although this method is widely rather frowned upon by the research community, it is quite important to do so whenever necessary, and you can do so in the following scenarios. When your current study is a continuation of your previous study, if you're trying to build a coherent piece of work within a certain research area, and finally, if the number of your self-cites to external sites in your research paper are comparable to others in the field. Of course, it's very difficult to measure this. However, if, say, you have 25 citations that you have as part of your reference list in your research paper, which whether it's an original article or a review article, then your own citations or your own references can't be more than 50%. Cite yourself only when it is deserved or only when you can actually do it and you are the person who has actually done that piece of original work. And as I've said before, please refrain from excessive self-citing. This might be the next point, rather, might be a bit of a surprise, and it is writing a review article. Although empirical writing is, of course, important, even reviews are also very well cited, because when you write a review article, you know, it is often the first place where a lot of new researchers start reading when they start working in a new research area. Okay, so if you are working in a given research area for quite some time, then you can begin with writing a review article based on your previous research as well to summarize the findings in your research area. And if people were really interested in the review article, and of course if you've cited yourself in the review article, you could direct these people to your original work as well. A lot of times journals or publishers have these special issues regarding a specific research area, and if your research is of course regarding that particular niche area, of course you can go ahead and also submit your article or your review to that particular issue, as it would increase the chances of it being accepted. Okay, the next method is again a pre-publication method, and it is choosing your keywords effectively or keywords carefully. Keywords can help your peers as well as others to look for your paper quite easily and improve the discoverability of your paper on several abstracting as well as indexing services. Once narrowed down, ensure that you use these keywords as much as possible in the abstract of your article, and of course these should also appear in the title of your article. Search engine optimization is very important to ensure that your work appears as highly as possible in the search results of search engines such as Google as well as Bing, whichever a given researcher might be using to look for your paper. Again, another very important method of improving the visibility of your research substantially is going open access. So now, what is open access? Open access is once your article is published, it will appear free of cost to anybody who has access to the internet. Okay, publishing in open access journals has, as I said, shown to increase the chances of citation. However, it comes at a cost, and APCs or article processing charges are quite high. So if you cannot afford to publish in open access journals, you can go and deposit your paper onto an open access repository. But of course, you have to first check with the publisher regarding any sort of copyright requirements or to ensure that there is no infringement. Furthermore, you can also share your data, because nowadays even data can be cited. A lot of people are undertaking several meta-analysis, etc., and so on. So if you have some data out there which you've produced as part of your research study, try to deposit it on any subject specific repository or university repository out there. You can also share your work on Figshare as well as Dryad. These are again other open access repositories available to researchers. So the most important tool that one can use in today's day and age to promote their research and to be known as an international entity or an international pioneer in their work is using social media networks, because everybody is using them. However, just making an online profile, whether it is Facebook, LinkedIn or ResearchGate, is not enough. One has to maintain it, and one has to also engage with their peers, with their audience on when they use this platform. And finally, one has to track their progress using the various tools available in order to understand whether their promotion strategy is actually working, and if it is not, then to amend it accordingly so that it is actually useful, or all your efforts are useful. So we'll actually go through the different platforms in brief. All right then, as far as academic networks are concerned, you have academia.edu as well as ResearchGate. I think ResearchGate is quite widely used by researchers. It allows you to share your work, to connect with people who are a part of your scientific are a part of your research community, or otherwise any other research community or any other research area who you would like to go ahead and collaborate with. It allows you to to ask questions, to answer questions. It also provides you with a metric, which is the RG score, which is a measure of scientific reputation. So using a ResearchGate is also a very useful tool in improving, especially if you are, not only just updating your profile, but also engaging with your audience through these forums, these Q&A forums, which are available. It certainly improves your visibility as a researcher. And of course, if you're sharing your work on the platform as well, depending on the the copyrights of the, if they are with you, then people will be also able to read the work that you've posted on that particular platform, or you can at least add the link so that they can be led to the right place where they can go ahead and even read your work. So using these academic networks is indeed quite useful. Another useful academic network is Mendeley. So we might all know Mendeley as a reference management system, but in addition to that, it also has a feature which is Mendeley Groups, and which allows you to, to discuss and it all discuss your research with other members of the community. It allows and supports discovery and innovation. In addition, it also has Mendeley Stats, which has like a personal dashboard, which shows the number of views or the number of downloads or the number of citations that your publications have had. And finally, you have Google Scholar. We know Google Scholar as a search engine for scholarly literature, but via Google Scholar citation, it also you can also create an author profile, and you can follow your co-authors or people that you want to work with, and it will help you remain abreast with whatever is happening. You also have these metrics that are provided by Google Scholar citations, which measure the impact of your research and might show, or might of course help you understand what the impact or what the visibility of your research is. LinkedIn, as we all know, is a professional networking site, and is the world's largest professional networking site. I think nowadays people in academia also have started using LinkedIn quite effectively, not only to just create a profile, but they tend to share regular updates regarding their work or areas that they are really passionate about, whether they are research ethics or say open open science or open access. If you're going to a conference and you have met with an interesting researcher who you're interested in collaborating with, then you can actually connect with them on LinkedIn after the conference, and it'll help you stay in touch with them. So LinkedIn is a very useful tool to first of all build, but how also to maintain relationships with past and current colleagues, peers within your field, as well as, I've said, contacts you've met at that you've made at conferences. Another way of improving your visibility as a researcher is tweeting regularly. Twitter is, as we all know, is the world's largest microblogging platform, and it allows authors who wish to build a reputation within their area to actually tweet about their work, and it helps them grow their networks. It can also help you, track emerging trends within your discipline, generate discussion during the research process, provide feedback, because, it is not a one-way traffic. People tend to respond or comment on your tweet as well, and also to help disseminate research once it gets published. So you can always provide a link to your publication after tweeting an abstract or a graphical abstract about it on Twitter, so that whoever wants to read more about that particular graphical abstract or that particular image, they can of course go ahead and click on the link and read it. And of course, if they are interested and if it is related to their research, they can cite it as well. Having a Facebook account nowadays is useful even for researchers. So nowadays, I think there was a survey which was done by Nature, which showed that 15% of surveyed scientists were regular Facebook users, and over 20% use it to post work related content. So when you create a Facebook account, make sure that your professional Facebook account is different or discreet from your personal Facebook account, and you only post work related stuff on your professional account. Again, in addition, as I've said before, just having an account on Facebook is not enough. You also want to engage regularly with your audience, so you can post graphical abstracts. If you have attended a conference, you can post an image of that. You can also, if there is a new trend in research that you want to discuss about, you can start a discussion regarding that on Facebook. So ensure that you use various modalities which are provided by Facebook to the best of its to the best of your ability, to ensure that, you know, it all the effort that you're putting in creating that this profile is actually worth it. So you can use it to the best of your ability. YouTube nowadays, we all have very short attention span, and instead of reading about 1,000 words, somebody will find it easy to watch a 1 minute video. So if you can convert your research study into a short succinct video or an animated video which you can post on YouTube, and you can of course share this video on your Twitter, on Facebook, on your LinkedIn profile, then people will go watch it, and you can provide the link to your paper in the description section so that it can lead people to that paper if they want to read about it in more detail. So I think now we have discussed various platforms that you can use. Of course, somebody might, when I went to a conference, ask me which is the best platform that one can use. I feel like you should make, because I think that particular researcher had had accounts in on all these social media as well as academic platforms, but they said they were not able to effectively promote the research. Then one way of going about this is ensuring that you have as many accounts as you can actually have and maintain, and you are able to maintain effectively. As I've said before, just having an account is not enough. You have to actively engage with your audience, and you can do so only by making these short videos which you post on these YouTube videos that you will post on your various other social networking sites, so that people, you know, come back for more. And you do so regularly. You can't just post it now and then take a 5 month break and then post another video. You have to be quite active in order to ensure that you're building a community of audience who essentially keep coming back to read more, and then you can direct them, of course, to your published work as soon as you publish something. Okay, another method of increasing the visibility but also ensuring that you rightfully get the credit for your work is having an ORC ID. ORC ID is a persistent identifier that distinguishes you as a researcher from the rest. I think there was an issue in China wherein there were several researchers with the same surname, and hence it was difficult to give the one person, you know, the credit for all the work that they had done, and this I think happens in a lot of places. So ORC ID is very useful in such scenarios because it solves the problems of multiple researchers having the same name, and it ensures that you're recognized for your work via integration with key research workflows such as manuscript and grant submission platforms, as well as scholarly communication networks, as well as wider industry tools such as ResearchGate, Academia.edu, Web of Science, Kudos, and ImpactStory. Many publishers, as well as institutions and even funding bodies nowadays, are using ORC ID. So if you don't have an ORC ID yet, make sure you go ahead and make one. Writing a blog. Nowadays, there are several researchers who tend to write blogs, whether it is about their research or about something that really they are passionate about and they believe would be of interest, as well as it would benefit members of the research community. So if you again start writing a blog, you have to ensure that you keep writing it or keep updating it in a timely manner, and every so often, essentially, as much as your busy schedule allows. Just making it very text rich is not always useful. So making visually attractive and adding other visually attractive elements, whether they are smart shots or images or links to videos that you've created on YouTube, is also very important. Inviting people to comment on it so that, you know, asking them, you know, what more would you like to hear about or talk about is also quite important as well. Finally, having a title, your title and headline, just like the title of your paper or the abstract of your paper, helps you attract an audience. Having a very attractive and a catchy title for your blog will also help you attract audience as well. So now, for example, if you are writing a blog on, say, writing a good grant, just saying that how to write a grant will not help you get an audience. Instead of that, if you amend it and say something like how to acquire $1 million grant will be an effective way of attracting more audience. For example, if you're writing a blog on how to write a grant, just putting that as a title will not be useful. You need to make it more attractive. And so you can amend it slightly or rather tweak it slightly and call it how to write $1 million grant, because this will certainly catch the attention of several people and they will certainly come to your blog and read it. Of course, if they have come to your blog the first time around, make sure that you keep updating it every so often, or provide links to your previously written blogs so that it can direct the audience to those blogs, just to ensure that you're maintaining their attention and they keep coming back for more. And finally, the last method of improving the chances of being cited is also actively promoting your own research work. Firstly, you can do so by having your own website. When you create your own website, ensure it has all the information regarding your current work or previous work, all the key publications that you have in a chronological order, all the grants that you've received, all the projects that you've worked on, all the people who have worked with you or you have collaborated with, of course, seek their permission. Also, if you were to publish a paper, update it on your website. And finally, when you publish a paper, send it to all the key stakeholders, whether it's the funding body or if it is the head of your research institution or your peers or your students. Also, if you are mentoring students, when they first come into your lab or they first start working with you, try to share your publication with them if it is related to their project. And of course, if they were to go ahead and then write another review and so on, they'll of course go ahead and cite you as well. So there are several ways in which you actively, in your own small way, can also update people regarding what you're doing and improve the chances of being cited. And finally, as I've said, when it comes to any social media platform or any blogging or platform or even your own website or even your university page, it is very important to update it regularly. If you've attended a conference, if you have received a new grant, if you have written a new paper, if you have done some commentary, if you have been invited to even have do a small talk at another research institution, it is very useful if you update your blog, update your website or whatever platform you're using every so often. So make sure you maintain it and update it properly. Okay. So now if you're using all these methods to promote your research, the next method is to measure your progress as to whether your promotion strategy is actually working. Then for that purpose, you have several novel tools in addition to just citation metrics, the traditional citation metrics which people have used so far. And these include altmetrics. Now there are several platforms which are available out there. So you have altmetrics or you have Plum Analytics, which give you these new forms of metrics which show the readability as well as the usability, the downloads that your paper has had, the number of times it was tweeted, the number of times it was mentioned in a blog, the number of times it was mentioned on Google Scholar. So a number of funding bodies nowadays are also considering altmetrics in addition to traditional metrics. So that's the measure that you can use as well in order to understand whether your promotion strategy is actually using. You can use a combination of traditional metrics as well as these new generation altmetrics. So finally, what we're going to do now is provide you with a three-step strategy to ensure that you considerably improve the visibility of your research and you increase the chances of being a well-cited author. So the first step is to disseminate, and you do so by presenting at conferences on a regular basis, writing review articles, citing your own previous work, of course not effectively, and even sharing data and figures if you cannot go open access. Of course, if you are sharing your paper on any post-print or pre-print repositories, you have to also look at the copyright requirements. The next step is to discuss. When I say discuss, you actually engage with your audience, and you can do so when you write blogs, or you create YouTube videos, or you have profiles on ResearchGate. You actively, you know, be a part of the Q&A forum on ResearchGate. You post work regularly on your LinkedIn profile, on your Facebook profile. If you're writing a blog, you do so regularly. You maintain your website regularly. And finally, tracking your progress using traditional metrics as well as new generation metrics or alt metrics. So remember the three-step strategy. You have disseminate, discuss, and tracking progress. Okay, so that is it for our first episode. I hope you found it useful. If you had any questions related to today's episode, please post it on our Q&A forum. Our Q&A forum, I think the link for this forum will be provided in the description section. So if you have any queries, post it out there and we will get back to you. Thank you for listening to the first episode of our podcast, and we will get back with the next episode as soon as we can. See you later.
Thank you for dropping in to Inago Academy's podcast. If you'd like to know more about the intriguing world of scholarly publishing, head over to inago.com/academy right away. But before we sign off, we would like to remind you that all our resources are available on our website. Share your thoughts, comments, and feedback at academy@inago.com. We would love to hear from you. We will be back with another edition of Inago Academy's podcast next week. Until then, have a great day.